Maybe. Hold on. Okay. Coming up on TMSPM, let's test Brian.
Oh, I wasn't scrolled up. I was like, there was no read. Oops. Here's my wallet.
Chips sleep well.
That was totally Hitler.
Nah, sorry. Hot bath with Bitcoin.
App time.
Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Incorrect. It's Sunday at 10 a.m. It's not PM.
That's right. It is, I don't know when we've recorded on a Sunday. This has to be one of our first Sundays. Maybe
the
third,
first.
Second time yeah. We've done it. I know we've done it at least once,
Have
right?
Have we done it once before? I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe.
We've done a couple Saturdays.
We are at 1,489 episodes. I'll bet you in that time we've done at least one Sunday. We have to.
Yeah, we have to have. Yeah.
It's my fault. You can blame me. Send your hate mail to me because I had a thing come up Friday and it jacked up my entire day. So I was unable to follow through on our normal plan to do it on Friday. But here it is. We've decided to do one anyway.
Don't send your hate mail to Scott because it was a client, right? So, you know, send your hate mail to Steve Munson,
that's it. The Munson and Munson, who I'm doing a project for.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, well, let's get them all involved. It went real dumb, but it was a good day to start with at the instance. It was a fantastic episode of that. And thought, well, I'll just roll right into everyone's favorite morning show, and it didn't happen.
Sure.
But we're here. We're back. Happened. So thanks for being here, everybody. I got a couple things here this morning. I want to follow up on how your meetup went. Before I do that, I got to play some audio for you and test you.
I love it. You teased me about this before FilmSec yesterday, so I'm super, super excited.
Yep, and you don't know anything about it, which is nice because this will be fresh. Now, I have to turn off this music because we need silence for this to work.
Okay.
Now, you remember
this is coming on the heels of the whole Laurel Yanny.
Yes. The Yanny Laurel thing where at least for the pitch, the one that was pitched the way we heard it, you always heard Laurel. I always heard Yanny, right?
Always heard Laurel, yeah.
Now,
then I heard John Tesh.
Now, well, it's all in the same, it's in the same section of the record store.
I've never heard Yanny.
So here's what I need you to do, though. This is the tricky bit. I need you to think of the following words before I play it.
Okay,
so the first word, let me make sure I get this right. I got to have it in front of me because I do not want to screw this up. Okay, so...
Take no plums.
Hold on a second. where'd it go? Oh, wait, no, that's not good. All right, I want you to think of the word green needle.
Green needle. Okay.
Green. Those are words, I guess.
Yeah.
green needle. Okay. That's your first one to remember. You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. There it is. Okay. Do you hear that? Green needle.
Yes. Okay. I hear green.
Right.
I hear it's still, said by Gollum or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's very green needle. Now I want you to, I'm going to play the exact same file.
All right.
And I want you to think of the word brainstorm. Okay.
Okay.
So you're thinking the word brainstorm?
Yep, I'm thinking brainstorm.
Here we go. Did you hear that?
I'm still hearing green needle.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I'm hearing three syllables. I'm not hearing, I'm hearing, okay, one more time. Think brainstorm?
So brainstorm, brainstorm, brainstorm.
Oh, yeah, no, I still hear green needle.
What?
Yeah. It's weird. I'm hearing three syllables. Yeah, people are saying brain needle. maybe that's it. Brain needle.
Here's what I'm seeing. So if I think of the word green needle, I hear green needle.
Yeah.
If I think brainstorm, that's all I have to do right there, by the way, is just switch my thinking and I hear them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, totally opposite. That's so weird.
Monica says, I'm not letting go of my mind. Let go of your mind, Luke. Reach out. Okay, all right. All right. Flush
your brain. Flush it completely.
Any previous words out. All right, now brainstorm. Okay.
Think of the words brainstorm. Okay, here it goes.
No, I'm still
you're still hearing Green Needle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what, I could you could convince me I'm hearing Brainado or like like some sci-fi network Grenado or
now like chat room says I can't get back to Green Needle. Okay, Bagheera, now think Green Needle. Now I hear Green Needle.
Yeah.
That's funky. Funky Cold Medina right there. That's what that is. All right. Sorry, had to
yeah, so is it like Brainstorm is like
I don't even know what it's supposed to originally said. It's some weird little toy.
Well, no, I mean, are you hearing? You're hearing like, is the last syllable that you're hearing an M, like Brainstorm?
It's more like I'm hearing Brainstorm, like that.
So I'll really? Play it again. Okay.
Yeah, wait, almost time, like Brainstore. Like, there's no M really.
Okay.
But it's like Brainstore.
One more time. Wow. No, I'm hearing like. Don't you go.
Brain store. Green needle. I don't know how that works.
I don't. I wish I could hear it. It's like those magic eye posters. Like, I think my brain is just not wired to hear the two differences. The difference in the sounds.
Now, those who are like me, who are hearing the differences.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think I'm. They probably think I'm cheating and hitting two files here. But I'm not, and I want to prove it. So chat room.
I could definitely verify that you're not.
Yeah, and that, yeah, exactly take Brian's word for it. Time, but yeah. Right here, you'll see. Okay, whoops, wrong thing. Okay, right here, I'm going to play this. Actually, I'll do it on this. Right here, you see this clip right here? It says weird sound thing. I'm going to hit it. And this is they're seeing this on video. So brain needle. Or green needle, rather. Although I kind of heard brain needle when I thought brain needle. Weird. And then brainstorm. Yeah, see, I'm telling you, wow. I know you're not hearing that, Brian, but my brain literally jumps tracks every time.
Oh, I believe it. I totally believe it. I mean, it's like the whole Laurel Yanny thing, like how some people swore by hearing Yanny, and I could never figure out how they were hearing Yanny.
Yeah, it's freaking weird.
Yeah.
But for those who are like Brian, who can just, you know, aren't, you know, don't have this... I don't have such a weak mind or whatever.
Easily manipulable.
Yeah, that's what this feels. That's what I worry about is that you could completely trick me into something. I don't know what exactly, but you could do it. Anyway, I knew that'd be fun. All right, tell me about Hyperspace Arcade and the Tadpole meetup.
Oh my God, dude, this was awesome. So we went yesterday to Hyperspace Arcade with, so the Spagnolas, Nicole set this whole thing up. Just as kind of like a way to jumpstart a Denver Tadpole meetup group. Because,
sure.
You know, in going to Vegas and going to Nerdtacular, we bump into people all the time. Said, oh, yeah, I'm in Denver or here. We get requests from people who've, you know, never reached out and said, oh, hey, Brian, I'm actually in Denver with you. Who are like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm in Denver and always meet you guys up in Salt Lake City or meet you guys in Vegas or whatever. So she reached out to the Tadpole. She reached out during TMS a couple times and found as many of our Denver brethren as she could, mm-hmm. and then set up this kind of meetup event at Hyperspace Arcade yesterday. And
this is so right there in Denver?
It's here in Denver. It's actually really close to Colfax, which is kind of the east-west line that bisects the city of Denver, right down through the middle of downtown Denver.
Gotcha.
And parts of Colfax are really, really nice, and there are parts that aren't so nice. But lots of hourly motels on Colfax in certain parts, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, see that's where you'd go to just get a lady friend, and you just have the one night there, right?
Or the 1 hour?
Or yeah, the one. Not even that. Yeah, the 1 hour, and you just go in. You say, "What's your name?" I'm Mr. Joe Hansen, and they say, "Sure, why not?" They don't check, and you just go in there with a hooker lady. And then you come out an hour later. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. If an hour. I mean,
maybe
even less. So, yeah, I know what's up in the Colfax 1 hour motels. I've been there.
Well, anyway, so right around all those 1 hour motels is this place called Hyperspace Arcade. Now, what I was expecting was, and you've seen places like this. I mean, the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas is a huge room with a bunch of pinball machines.
Right.
And I think I was expecting maybe like a quarter of that, but it was all video games, right? And maybe having like a janky copy of X-Men 1990 video game that has two joysticks broken or three Space Invaders machines or something like that.
Right.
No, Scott. Oh. Holy cow, this place was amazing. We what's that?
I'm so jealous of this.
Oh man, we walked into this place, and at first you're like in this little room, they've got Journey and they've got Mappy, the old game Mappy, and Q-Bert and Ms. Pac-Man over there in the corner. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Then there's a little place you could walk through between, and you go around this corner, and all of a sudden you're seeing, all right, wow, they've got Dragon's Lair 2. They've got a wall that's got Star Castle, Asteroids Deluxe.
Oh my gosh.
Asteroids Deluxe,
you know, Asteroids Deluxe had the rotating asteroids. That's what that had. So it wasn't just beat.
Exactly. The asteroids were like, rotate. I forgot that there was a whole, like, because of the way the reflection of the glass was, there was a space background behind it that was really cool, that kind of gave it this really cool 3D effect.
Yep.
You also had those stupid little triangular ships in Asteroids Deluxe that would show up on screen as a box. Yep. And as soon as they'd break open, all 12 of those little things would shoot out. It would, like, Dalek right towards you.
Those were nightmarish, and I hated those. And I also, the other thing I didn't like about that particular sequel, otherwise it's pretty good, it's a pretty good sequel. Mm-hmm. But my biggest problem was, in order to make the ship new and different, mm-hmm. all they did was snap two wings on the side of the thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Instead of it being like a little greater than symbol with a smaller greater than symbol in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's a freaking, it looks like a, I don't know, like a vector version of one of the Vipers from Battlestar Galactica is what they look like.
Exactly. Then they had Space War, which, if you remember, was Asteroids, or maybe even Asteroids Deluxe, but you could play two player at the same time, and your ships would either be tethered to each other. Mm-hmm. So you know, basically you couldn't fly away from each other, or you could do cooperative, you know, where you're not tethered to each other. But the instead of asteroids, they were like multicolor pinwheels that were all spinning around and stuff like that.
Wasn't it based on? So the original Space War was that crazy thing they built in the 60s. It was like, yes, considered to be the first video game
that
ever.
That was Space War, and they had that next to it, too. I'm sorry, did I say Space War? I meant Space Duel.
Oh, they had Space War there?
They had Space War.
Holy
which, do you remember the controls? There was no joystick. Mm-hmm. It was keyboard keys.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, not the big, cool, circular arcade buttons that we know and love. These were like Alt and Control, but with, you know, up arrow, down arrow, left arrow.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to play that, but I kind of wanted to, but there were so many other things that I wanted to play.
The fact that they had it there at all blows my mind.
Yeah.
I can't believe
and
they had
working.
It. Yeah, that's crazy.
Played some Dragon's Lair 2. Oh, so there I'm in that room. And then you go in this other room, and there are like 7 or 8 rows of video games, just row after row after row. And then a big raised upper deck with pinball machines on it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 pinball machines. All the rest were arcade machines. And they had stuff that I hadn't seen in years. Venture, that game that I remember loving as a kid. And I played it and I said, oh my God, this is horrible. Like, the controls and everything were so bad.
Yeah.
Is
that a ColecoVision game? Or it was an arcade game also.
It was an arcade game, and then they made an Atari 2600 version as well. But basically, it's like your first view is this macro view of this dungeon, but really it's you in a big square room, and there are 4 smaller rooms inside there with doors that you have to get to, and you're a little dot, a little pixel, and you move around to one of those doors, and as soon as you go into the door, then it zooms into that room, and you've got a treasure somewhere in that room, but then you've also got skeletons bouncing around, or snakes, or something like that, and your object is to either just get the treasure and get out, or shoot all those things, get the treasure, and get out.
It was very much like, so modern Japanese RPGs do this now, where there's an overworld.
Yeah.
And then when you get into a dungeon, it zooms in and you're like a full-blown dude, but when you're on the overworld, you're just like a big-headed avatar or whatever.
Right, right. Yep, a lot like that.
It's crazy how that probably evolved or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at it now. It's really rudimentary, this game.
It's really janky. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of games. Popeye. I'd forgotten about the Popeye game team that I played, two-player Popeye. And
Nintendo, like, made that game.
They did, yes. Yeah. And next to it was Crawl. It was like Film Sack, right, you know, side by side there.
Wait. You had a Crawl game in this arcade?
It was a Crawl game. Next to that was Quix.
Oh.
And you it was, guys, you know, all of these things were great. They were in great condition. They were all working. That like the, you know, there weren't like bad buttons and janky joysticks and stuff like that. It was all totally working really well.
I am unbelievably jealous of this place. I want to go there. I guess yeah. I need to come out next time you do it or something.
I think so. I think we'll just take over the place. But that's the thing. You pay $14. I'm not even talking about the console room, too. They had a room where you're playing Dreamcast and ColecoVision and Intellivision and 2600 and GameCube. Like, they had all these things set up, and all you have to do is choose the system you want, mm-hmm. and they've been kind of hacked to list every game those machines had, and you just play whichever one you want.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, you pay $14 to get in. They open, like, one or something, and you get a stamp, you come and go as you please, you go out and get dinner, whatever, come back and play some more, and everything's on free play.
Wow. All right. That sounds great. So,
now,
bring it to
Utah.
Here's
the drawback.
Yeah, what's the drawback?
Here's why I'm not going to go for maybe another few weeks when I go back.
Okay.
Little carpal tunnel.
Oh, really?
Because here's the thing. I was a lot shorter in the days of those video games, and now when you're kind of hunched over, especially Asteroids. I think I did like 8 games of Asteroids Deluxe, one right after the other, yep. and several games of Dragon's Lair 2, because, oh my god, you forget at how...
That game, dude, they ramped it up in that one.
They did. And you forget how freaking repetitive, right? So it starts out, and you're in the village pub, and this woman's coming after you with a rolling pin, and Ralph backs your yard all over the damn place, and she swings at you. Oh, you got to duck. Beep, beep, beep. And there's a little flashing light on one side of the screen. You duck down. And then it's like, over here, well, your sword's flashing. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, you get on the sword. And then you get on your little steed, and you're running back and forth, and she comes up next to you, and your sword flashes. Beep, beep, beep. You hit your sword button, and you slash her. And then you get to this castle, and you run down the thing, and then the gate closes right behind you, and she's stuck on the other side. And then you have this, right? All right. But then let's say the snake comes out, and it flashes to the right, but you hit your sword thinking that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Oh, you die, and you turn into the little skeleton, Dirk the Daring, or you fall down a hole, or you're in the snake. And then it goes back to the freaking pub.
Yeah, and you do it over again. Yeah,
do it over again until you get to a stupid save point or whatever. Yeah, I guess a save point is probably the best name of that thing. It's like, oh my god, I can't do this anymore. I just can't play this game anymore.
Yeah, those QuickTime. I mean, they're
checkmark. Thank you, Edgar.
QuickTime games have continued to be a thing. They are all sort of based there. A QuickTime event in God of War,
yeah.
Really, it owes its lineage to the Dragon's Lair era, because were all QuickTime events. Everything was like, oh, don't forget to push down right at that exact second, or you're going to miss grabbing your sword, or whatever. They were weird. What a weird
they really
game.
Were weird, and it was really more a game. It was less a game of reflexes and more a game of memorization, and that to me isn't as fun.
right. I totally get it. I don't know that stuff holds up as... I mean, I love looking at it, right? Like, it's all animated and cool and Don Bluth stuff.
And, you know, there's
cool.
a Laserdisc in this one. I mean, it has to be. It's you know, there's every once in a while those video lines that you get. It's like, oh, yeah, this is still Laserdisc-based.
Right.
But boy, does my... I just feel like I've got carpal tunnel from playing that damn game.
Well, all right, then. Look at you taking one for the team.
That's right.
Your hand's going to hurt for a little bit, I think.
It's going to hurt for a few days, yeah.
I get that when I play a lot of Heroes of the Storm, like after a 6-game session, my left hand wants to kill me.
I'm sure.
Grabs a knife and starts stabbing me. Well, all right then. This is all good. We are now going to take a deep dive into what the evening news.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Time for the news. Let's get right into it. Stormy Daniels, you're familiar with her work?
I'm sure.
We're not going to talk about the connection to our sitting president
exactly
or anything, but this is interesting. Stormy Daniels' performance got cut short after a drunk man throws his wallet in her face.
Take my money.
Take all my money, my credit cards, my ID. Drunk patron at Stars Cabaret in Bend. Is that in Colorado?
That's in Oregon.
Oh, or Bend Oregon.
Home of the Bend Bulletin. I installed there, but I did not go to the Stars Cabaret.
Oh, it's too bad.
I know.
You could have thrown your wallet at a...
But boy, way to remind us what you're known for, Stormy. Just when maybe we forget, oh, yeah, she's, you know, it's this woman who's
working for a living.
Forward and
sure.
Simply, oh, that's what she does for a living. That's right.
Well, I threw her wallet at the alleged presidential mistress in the middle of her much anticipated strip show Thursday night, cutting short her performance. Daniels, the 39-year-old porn mom, porn star.
The mother of porn.
The mother of all porn. At the center of the administration scandal involving $130,000 hush money payoff was dancing to Poison's Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I found that wasn't true. I saw many roses during my lifetime that had no thorns. So it's not true. Every rose does not have its thorn. I mean, I get the idea. It's like saying, no matter how nice the rose is, don't get too attached, because up there on the part of the stem, there's a thing that'll cut you, and you might bleed.
Every silver lining has a cloud. Exactly. Basically what that sign is saying to
us. But I've seen thornless roses, and I don't know if they were genetically made that way, but whatever.
They were probably, like, clipped.
Probably. Now that you make you're making a good point. Every rose has a possibility of being trimmed before you get it. Anyway, she was in nothing but high heels and a garter on her right leg when she was hit in the face with a wallet. Shocked, she ran off stage after throwing the wallet back at the man. The crowd booed as the announcer said the show had been stopped. Daniels was not hurt, but Bend Police.
Bend Police. They live inside of my Bend. The Bend Police. They come to me and my Bend.
Oh, I knew you'd find the right song for it.
I'm just picturing, I was distracted because I was imagining a guy going, I think she just threw that guy's wallet. Right. I think that guy just threw his wallet at her.
Yeah, I think maybe. Let's see,
there's like four people in the audience who got that joke.
No, I know. We love every single one of those four people. Ben Police arrived, interviewed the patron outside the club. He says, I was being wasted.
I mean, I think he means I was acting like a wasted person acts, but it comes across as I just wasn't being used to my full capacity.
Right, you're right. I was being wasted. I needed to move on to more fertile ground.
More challenges.
Yeah. unnamed patron told police Daniels refused to press charges and the man was let go free to walk home. So that's how it went. Such is the life of a famous stripper lady.
You know, is the life. You can take the stripper out of Bend, but you can't take the Bend out of the stripper. I don't know. There's something there. Like, you know, when you dance on a stage topless to some Poison music, you're going to get a wallet thrown at you.
Yeah,
I think that's just the way life is.
That's the new saying. We're going to spread that around. If you dance in Bend naked, wallet
live
to
by the
face.
Bend, die by the Bend.
There
is
you
that
go.
It, maybe?
There you go. Very good. Hey, do you think champ? Okay, if I had to throw this at you as a raw question, and you didn't know any better.
Sure.
Would you say that humans keep cleaner beds or chimpanzees do? Because chimpanzees are known for just like doing it for no reason or throwing poo at things,
throwing feces. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So my first thought would be, well, yeah, chimpanzees. Probably are dirtier.
Project X. Yeah,
sure.
I would assume a chimpanzee's bed would be dirty, but I don't think you would ask me.
No.
If the answer was, yeah, chimps are pretty much as dirty as you think they are.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next story.
It's a bit of a trick question because it turns out you'll have to think again if you're like me and thought that chimpanzees or pan troglodytes. Did you know that's what they were called?
I had no idea that was their scientific name. Pan troglodytes?
Pan troglodytes.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I do too. I think that's great.
Like troglodytes. You think of Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah, like little hunched over little creature dudes. I guess that's what these are.
Wow.
But pan troglodytes appear to keep a tidier sleeping arrangement than we humans. That's one finding of a recent study that evaluated the microbes and arthropods found in the treetop beds of chimpanzees make at night. So as we know that human homes are effectively their own ecosystems, human beds often contain a subset of taxa or types of organisms found in the home. Never heard of taxa either, but whatever. Says Megan Theo. How would you
thumbs.
Say that?
Thumbs.
It's kind of like that river in...
maybe even French. She might be even thumb.
You know what used to confuse me as a kid? This reminds me of it.
Sure.
We'd watch, like, I don't know, Benny Hill on PBS. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And at the end, it would be that, and it would show like the royal something rise up from the river, and then it would say, I thought it said Thames, but really it said Thames.
Oh, yes.
Because right. You say Thames, not Thames. Thames.
Yes, right.
But for my entire adolescent life, I'm like, what's Thames? Nobody would tell me what Thames was. It annoyed the hell out of me. I remember that bugging me when I was a kid.
Thames! Thames. It's going to confuse Scott forever.
Yeah. Sandra Goss is like, oh, I can totally hear the tune. Me too. I can, ugh. Much a day, much a night, I would sit and watch Benny Hill and hope my parents weren't around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
right.
Seems so naughty.
See boobs on PBS, right? It seemed like such a weird thing.
Yeah, public TV. You could see boobs on a Saturday night with a crappy old British comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so here's the deal. We wanted to know how humans. So for example, about 35% of bacteria in human beds stem from our own bodies. Now here's the part that I don't like.
Yeah,
including fecal. Oral and skin bacteria. Think of that next time.
I just don't like seeing fecal and oral side by side in that sentence. Like if they maybe said oral, skin, and fecal bacteria, I think I'd have a better. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, it's almost like they're giving dominance to the first. Right. First mention is a problem. I don't like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It also makes me never want to get a hotel room again, but whatever.
How is it possible that chimpanzee beds are not covered with feces, right?
Well, they checked it, and it says they collected 41 swabs of chimpanzee beds or nests. The swabs were used to test the microbial biodiversity. At 15 of the nests, researchers also used vacuums to sample the diversity of arthropods, such as insects and anacrids, spiders, bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly, chimpanzees' beds have vastly different biodiversity than the human ones. The beds had a greater diversity of microbes, and the type of microbial life reflected the arboreal environments where the nests were found. Arboreal? Arboreal.
Arboreal. Tree-based. Arboreal.
Green needle. Just kidding. Notably, however, chimpanzees were less likely to harbor fecal, oral, or skin bacteria. So the three things we tend to really like to bed down with.
Yeah.
They don't have that.
So really, aren't they just saying, I mean, they're saying, all right, the beds had vastly different biodiversity than human ones. So they just had different crap in their beds. They just didn't have our brand of fecal, oral, and skin bacteria. Like they had their own, like the fact that they had to vacuum up bugs and arachnids. Yeah. Doesn't that make it a dirtier bed? And maybe the bugs and arachnids are eating the fecal, oral, and skin bacteria flakes and stuff that...
See, this is why we should be scientists.
Right.
Just for one day. final story is a guy with two more. Hitler. Okay. There's a Hitler story.
Sure.
French researchers.
It'd be Sunday without a Hitler story.
No, I know. What are you doing if you don't have one?
Right.
French researchers confirm after a study of Hitler's teeth that he definitely died in 1945. Now, a bunch of you are going to go, whatever, he lived in Argentina the rest of his days.
Chemtrails.
Yeah. And so I can't do anything for you people. But they tested the teeth of him and say that he definitely died in 1945 in Berlin after taking cyanide and a bullet. Why both? Just to ensure that he...
Yeah, exactly. Two forms of protection are usually better than one, Scott.
Dude, what a jackwagon he was.
Hitler was a total jackwagon. What an asshat that guy, man. Such a douche.
What a dick Hitler turned out to be.
Okay, so cyanide and a bullet. Now, if you...
It's a great band name.
It would be a great band name. Yeah. So if you were a time traveler to go back and kill Hitler...
Yeah.
And you saw that he was taking cyanide, but you still had a gun with you.
Yeah.
You'd probably shoot him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't walk up and go, oh, you've got cyanide. Never mind. Schlunk and put my thing back
right,
in
exactly.
My holster.
All right, time to head back to the future, Marty.
Yeah. it's your
you got this covered, Hitler? Okay, cool.
It's your jack wagon, Marty.
Right.
Anyway, so let's see. We cannot stop all the conspiracy theories about Hitler. He did not flee to Argentina in a submarine. He did not stay hidden in an Antarctic base on the dark side of the moon. That's another popular one.
Sure.
The study, which it's in the magazine called European Journal of Internal Medicine, the analysis of Hitler's bad teeth and numerous dentures found while tartar deposits. White. That teeth looked like an L. White tartar deposits and no traces of meat fiber. The dictator was a vegetarian. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
If you not eat your bacon or the beef.
Does this biscuits and gravy contain pork?
I'll find out. And if I do, you will be shot. And then I will have vegan cheese.
My vegetarian lasagna is very dry. Put it back in the oven. It's cold.
Perhaps I should try but a little bit of meat. I didn't know he was vegetarian. No idea. That's news to me, Brian. News to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
The Russian service.
I don't know where I was going Indian with that. You're right, Jules. Yeah,
you were kind of going Indian. Oh, hi, Jules. I didn't know Jules was here today.
Yeah, Jules is here.
Oh, I love Jules. She's the best. All right. Final story. Heats his bath water with Bitcoin mining. And that's kind of cool, except it worked too well. So here's the deal.
Okay.
So, Brian, if you considered the Bitcoin thing at all, you want to get into cryptocurrency, This story may help you one way or the other. For hobbyists trying to strike it rich with cryptocurrency mining, but who don't have access to gigantic warehouses where they can park all the hardware, making money means packing a bunch of very loud and very hot computers into your house or apartment. This is what my buddy Zane up the road does. He's got like 10 of these rigs.
And he's got a whole separate room that's separately cooled, right, that he does all this in?
Sort of. It's cool, but I think it heats his house. Like, the house is hotter when this stuff's running. Yeah, it's weird.
Wow.
It's weird. I don't know that the sustainability of cryptocurrency may come down to whether or not we can afford to power it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, what costs, I don't know. It's a weird deal. But anyway, some at-home cryptocurrency miners are harnessing the heat that is coming from their equipment. This stuff's giving off. Motherboard, that's the website. Motherboard's Daniel Oberhaus.
Oberhaus. House of Ober.
Oberhaus. We will take your mining equipment and heat your pool. says used his mining equipment, albeit graphics cards, not these ASIC cards that are not graphics cards. Anyway, to stay warm during the storm, a storm once, and a Redditor posted under the handle GTA3 Uzi. Well, that's a name you trust.
Yeah.
Took it to another level, and the Tuesday post on the Bitcoin subreddit revealed his system for heating water using the machines so you can make money while you chill in a steamy bath. Here's the problem. 127 degrees Fahrenheit. That's too hot.
That's too hot for a bath. That's,
you'll scald yourself.
Too hot for a hot tub, yeah.
Is that scald? What's I don't know what the levels are for like actual burn or scald burn. I'm no expert on any of these things, but it seems that like that's too hot for a man.
Yeah, no, that's too hot to put a body in.
Yeah,
it'll definitely cause discomfort. I don't know if it would also burns occur with a 6-second exposure to 140, so it's not quite hot enough for burns. But and obviously it's not boiling yet. But damn,
too hot for still, comfort though, right? You wouldn't be
too hot for comfort.
Yeah. I love that 80s sitcom. It was the best.
Oh, yeah, you know, and JMJ Bullock was just a delight on that show.
That's who I thought was in Ice Pirates.
JMJ Bullock.
Who got his head cut off. Because I'm confusing him with the dude that always shows up and ruins sitcoms.
Yeah, Ted McGinley.
Ted McGinley.
They were both 80s pretty boys.
Yeah.
Like, perfectly queefed hair and...
Queefed?
Quaffed hair. Well, maybe they may. Well, I'm pretty sure JMJ Bullock's hair has never been queefed. Perfectly coiffed hair.
Perfectly queefed hair.
Perfectly queefed hair.
That's a pretty good title. You
know, sometimes people are going to assume that I say this stuff just so I can get a show title. No.
No, we don't. We have no. We don't have any skin in that game. We just
perfectly
say dumb stuff.
Coiffed hair.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, app reviews, Twitter time, and Dan's got a little thing we're going to sneak in here. All that and more coming right up. But before that, Brian has a song to blur.
You know, half the audience heard me say quaffed. The other half of the audience heard me say queefed. It's really just all in the sound of my voice.
Like weird. I heard green needle. Weird.
Right. See, that's just how it works. Yeah. Hey, let's go to Brighton in the UK. A duo named Immersion. Mm. Love this. They have an album coming out on the 15th of June, about a month away. Called Sleepless. This is, you're going to love this. It's the Wire frontman Colin Newman and Minimal Compact's Malka Spiegel. They're releasing this brand new album called Sleepless, which is a 10 distinctive, unpredictable instrumentals that encapsulate a range of emotions and energies. I really, really am digging this a lot. This is the first song from the album. This is the first track because I loved it. I didn't feel any need to delve any deeper, even though I'm listening to the whole album. From Immersion and the album Sleepless, here is Microclimate.
Thank you.
That's trippy. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That was all right.
Nope, not at all. Yeah, very, like you said, good work, background music, good Sunday morning music, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Taint nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
Check this out.
Yes.
Oh, I hear it. It's coming. No shit. Back up.
App slappy.
Sorry, I'm getting into it. I didn't want it to end. Yeah. Hey, I got some recommendations. It's app slappy time, where we review, mini review, kind of, sort of. I don't know. Recommend apps that we're using on our mobile devices. I had a kind of a fight in my brain today between two things, and decided on one of them. So you were going to hear about Mighty Party, but I'm saving that till later. Instead, okay. I'm going to tell you about something boring. I figured out my deal with how to do the lights and stuff in the house and have it all connected to my my Echo, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is something you already do. Brian's already a big proponent of said deal. Yeah.
Till you change the network in your house and nothing works.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. That part blows, but then you got to go reset everything up. That part, they really need to work on a better solution for that kind of thing, because it's a huge pain in the butt. But anyway, we had this thing. My rad brother-in-law Steve made a outdoor water feature for Kim, which is like a little. It's not even little, but it's like a big pot with like some pipes in it, and it's full of rocks. And it's if you turn it on, it's electric. You plug it in, and water. It's just like a waterfall. It just kind of keeps coming out of it. It's pumping fountain, water through it, right? And it can collect rainwater and use that, so you're not wasting tap water. Nice. Which is cool, and it also has a valve where if it gets too full of rainwater, it automatically drains, so you're not overloading it, and it's super nice. Well, that combined with these lights that we have strung now out in the back porch, it's a really cool vibe out there, but both of those things have to go over to the wall socket thing that's outside and go, all right, lift up the big cup and jam in a couple of plugs, and it's just such a meat-headed way to do it, right? So we thought, smart plugs, right? Let's get some smart plugs.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So we ordered some. The first one Steve recommended, I actually can't recommend because it ended up being kind of poopy. Their app is terrible. The Chinese to English translation is real bad, and I don't trust anything about it, so I sent that one back. and I ordered some others called, let's see, these are the LT, what's the brand? Shoot. LTE, got the name of the brand, and I don't have the box here. But anyway, well, the device
look
is...
Look at your previous purchases on Amazon.
Oh, right. Duh. Let's see. That's a good point, Brian. Let's do that real fast. So we go to orders here.
And these are waterproof?
These are water resistant, so they're made to go outside. They're meant for outdoors.
Cool.
Here it is. So it's Light Edge, but it's LiteDge. So they... The E is working for both light and edge.
Lidge.
They also make really great little round, kind of white, non-obstructing little ones you can put in your house type stuff.
Yeah.
And those are really cheap. They're like, I don't know, $13 a piece or something.
Three for 35, it looks like. That's really cool.
So you can get good combinations or whatever.
Oh, so you got this one that's got like two plugs.
Yeah, the big black, the big outdoor, black splitter. Yeah. Now that's supposed to be here today, but I already have one of these other little plugs, so I've been messing around with this. And the recommendation I'm going to make is still app related. These all work through the Smart Life app. And wholly easy to use. Like easy to set up, easy to make work, super awesome app, not janky and crappy like some guy in a basement in Shanghai made it. Like it's really a good app. It's free. And you use it with these kind of devices. And I assume they're different, different brands that work with it or something, because it's not the same brand as these devices, but this is the app they use. So I think others can work with it as well. It uses some kind of standard, but, I'm kind of a noob to all this. So if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, that's true. Cause I don't, but I'm learning. And it was so easy to set it up with, and it can be a multi-name thing on your Alexa deal. Oh, sorry. Cancel. On your Echo. So I can actually route those two plugs separately At least that's what I believe. I haven't actually gone and messed with it yet because it just got here. But yeah. Supposedly I can say I want the lights on. It will only affect the left plug. Or I want the water feature on. It only does the right plug.
Oh,
the,
that's cool.
The fun part is I'm going to name them. Like, sure. You know.
Splashy and...
Splashy and Larry.
Lighty.
The Lighty. Larry the Lighter. Larry the Lights. But it's awesome. So easy to use and so functional.
Huh.
And like, it makes me want to fill my house with these little... I know I'm late to the game. Smart home. It's been around. It's the thing. I get it. But it makes me want to put these little plugs everywhere. And that's control cool. It all from everywhere. I want to be able to control... Oh, and you know what else this has? It has a security feature. So if you're out of town for a day or something and nobody's at the house... And you want lights to just sort of come on in weird random sort of rotations,
right,
and even
not
this water feature.
Exactly at 4:02 p.m. every day. Yeah.
Right. You can have it, program it to do that. You can have it on a timer in general so you don't forget about it. So if you're like a drunk person and you forgot to turn off your water feature all night, it'll turn off anyway because you're too drunk to remember.
Very smart.
It's cool. I like it a lot. Again, the app is called Smart Life. It's on Android and iOS. Obviously, you'll need some smart devices to work with it. There's a bunch of info in it about what you can get for this thing, but I'm super impressed with it. It's my first real foray into smart home devicey stuff.
Yeah, and so. That's cool. I mean, even the indoor smart plugs, again, 3 for $35, that's great.
Yeah.
And they're small enough that it's not like, well, I can only fit one of those on my on the power supply.
Yeah, you can put two. I mean, you can put two on the wall where you have two normally. You could put... Mm-hmm. I assume, I'll see. Like, I have this power brick
down here.
Well,
you could even get, like, they've got a power strip that has, you know, 4 USBs and 3 plugs, and you can control them in pairs or groups or whatever. It's really cool.
Yeah, I like them. It's a good brand. I think they're still, they may still be, well, everything's made in China, but it seems like a cut above, and the price is good.
Sure.
So, it's only $25 for that outdoor dual one, which seems like a pretty good deal. And I'll report back if I have any problems. The one that's to cool. avoid, though, is this one I got, which freaking sucked. Here it is. Y-on. W-Y-O-N. That one is also $25. That thing sucked.
Really? Yeah.
I hated it.
As in, why is that on?
Well, it never did. It never did let me do the Alexa stuff. Sorry, cancel. Cancel. Okay. It never let me do the Echo stuff, and it also won't let you do a two-named thing. It can only be a single name, but they don't tell you that, so... It's jank, and you should see the English that's on it. Like, are now to have ready for this. Like, it's awful. Right. Don't use it. Don't get it. Why on? Avoid it with all costs. But LITE Edge or Light Edge or however the hell you're gonna say it. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Light Edge. Yeah. Cool.
And they're an officially recognized Amazon Echo partner or whatever that is. Yeah.
Echo compatible.
So they can use their little logo and all that.
Very
it's
cool.
The same damn price. Gosh dang it, get that Y-on out of here. All right, Brian, what'd you bring today?
I brought a game.
Oh,
and people are going to get angry because this is only on iPhone. Mm. And you can put on your iPad too. You can, put on any of your iOS devices. But I would say, and it even says, you're probably going to want to play this on your phone.
Okay.
And I tweeted about this morning because I'll get into it. I'll tell you why I tweeted about it in a second.
Right.
The game is called Black Box, and it's a game where you've got several different challenges. You've got to figure out what to do to get through those challenges. There's no clues as to what you're supposed to do. You just kind of start figuring it out. But it's not like the typical, all right, I need to drag this dot over here and then drag this square over here. No. For most of these, you won't even touch your screen. Like maybe one of them I've had to actually touch the screen. Black Box has puzzles where it's all in the accelerometer of your phone. It's picking up noises from the microphone. It's sensing light. It's sensing camera stuff. And you've got to figure out how to use each challenge to get through it, solve it, and move on to the next one.
You know what? This really is why cool. I'll bet I know why this isn't on Android yet. Because this would have to be made per phone.
It would totally have to be made. Oh, I see what you're saying. Not just per OS, but per phone.
Per phone, yes. Because every phone's got different hardware options, and they don't match always. So
exactly.
You may have a phone that's a super cheap burner type phone without accelerometer, and none of these puzzles would work. And then you'll have a higher end phone like a Galaxy or something that does most of the stuff, but maybe it's, I don't know. That makes sense to me. This totally looks crazy. True. What a weird looking idea this is.
This is really cool, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you download it for free and try it out, and then if you want to unlock, you know, you get your base 50 puzzles free, and then there's more that you can unlock with $3.99. Adam, so I've got 16 of these solved. Adam Christensen has something like 58 of them solved, I noticed.
He's a crazy because
it shows
bastard.
You how all your friends are doing.
Yeah.
Alex Robinson has 20 of them, Robert Ruiz, Steven Petrowitz. So I can see all my friends and how they're doing.
That's great.
But this thing is a blast. And it's like once you figure out what you're supposed to do, it's I want to describe one, but I can't without it being a spoiler.
Right, because you'll give it away how you solve
I'll
it.
I'll give it away, exactly. Yeah. But there's one that I just loved that involved, I'll just say it involved rotating something.
Mm. Maybe it was your phone.
Maybe it was my phone.
Weird.
Anyway, but no, this is really, really cool. It's called Black Box. Found out about it through Apple's newsletter thing, you know, thing that says, here's what's really cool in the store this week, or here's what's really popular, things like that. And I was like, oh, this sounds, puzzles are just right up my alley. So I'm absolutely going to pick that up. And I've been totally digging it.
Seems great. I'm down. Yeah. Totally down with this. This seems awesome. Well, all right then. Fantastic recommendation today. Again, that is Black Box. Think outside the box is their tagline. And you can get that now on iOS. Sorry, Android people. You have to wait until they make phone-specific ones. In my case, it is, what did I call it? I forgot the name. It's called Smart Life is the app. And the devices that work with it. So far, so good. We're going to take a moment now and hear from our buddy Dan, who's got some board game recommendations, and I'm sure some good stuff in here, so check that out. We'll be right back.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan, the Board Game Man. I'm back again for some TMSPM action goodness. I was going to be there on Friday, but I know Scott and Brian had some conflicts, so hopefully, well, if you're hearing this, that means that I am not around Sunday, because DJ had some tryouts, so I'm not sure if I'll be home in time. So if you're hearing this, means I wasn't at home. But I got some good stuff for you today. So first thing I want to talk about, I am incredibly addicted to this Slay the Spire. I'm not sure if Scott and Brian have talked about this, or if Scott talked about it on Boop or not, but Slay the Spire is a nice deck-building game on Steam. I think it's only 10 or 15 bucks. There might be some coupon codes out there to save it, but it's an early access. It's a legit deck building game where you start off with crap cards, and as you go throughout the dungeon, you're improving your deck. You're getting rid of, you can trash some cards at times, and you can add some other cards. Pretty much after every battle, you're adding cards and upgrading cards. It's really, really fun. I don't know how, there's a bunch of unlocks. I think there's two characters. You start off with like kind of a fighter, and then the second one's got a mage, and they play a little different, which is great. You just see, it's a roguelike, so you see how far you can get. Then you're upgrading things, and you're kind of taking some things from time to time, you know, moving on through the like kind of the roguelike type dungeon run. But it is a lot of fun, so check that out, Slay the Spire. Also, Steam, we talked about in the past, One Deck Dungeon. It was on Early Access as well. It is now officially released. It's 10 bucks. A lot of fun, good solo game. I guess you can kind of play it with two or whatever, but just play it solo. It's a ton of fun. 10 bucks is a decent deal. I may wait till the 23rd of May, where they say it's going to be out on mobile, and this is probably going to be a perfect mobile game. Hopefully anywhere from $1.99 to 5 bucks at most, but it's a really good game. Check that out, One Deck Dungeon by Asmodee Games. I also wanted to talk about the Spiel des Jahres nominations came out this week. That is the German Game of the Year. That's kind of one of these really huge Game of the Year honors. You know, these people that end up getting that little seal on their box end up selling almost usually at least 700,000 to a million more copies worldwide because of winning this award. This year, they've got Azul by Michael Kiesling, Luxor by Rüdiger Dorn, and The Mind by Wolfgang Warsch. I'm not really going to talk about the other two. Like, The Mind is a numbers on cards co-op thing. Kind of reminds me of Hobby or The Game that was out a couple years ago. It's not my type of game, so I really don't care. Luxor, kind of more of a, you know, these are already very light, friendly, family-friendly games, but Luxor seems really light, and I'm sure I may enjoy it, but I'm not sure it's the one that I would want to win. I have played Azul. Now, Azul is a great, great game. This is by Michael Kiesling. who's known more when he's with Kiesling and Kramer. They do a lot of heavier games, but this is by Next Move Games, which is a subsidiary of Plan B Games. In this game, you've got a bag of these tiles. Now, they kind of look like these tiles you would put in your bathroom, the bathroom floor tiles, but they're really, really nice. You're kind of putting them out four to a circle disc that's in a round circle. The disc is circle, and you have, I think it's like seven of them are out in a circle. On your turn, you're going to pick one of these configurations of four. You take one type of there. So if there's two of one type and one of two other types, you take the two of the one type, the rest of them go into the middle, into kind of a pot there. Then eventually as that gets up, you can kind of take the, you know, on your turn, you could take all of one type from the middle. But you do end up getting the first person that takes it does get a negative marker. And on your, you're going to put those on your boards depending on how many of them you get or which type. Because you're going to fill up this little grid where the top one is one, second one is two tiles, third one is three tiles, four tiles, and then five tiles. And there's five different types of tiles. When it fills up, when you fill up a row, everything slides over to this 5x5 grid, and there's the different colors there. And then it's going to, the one type is going to go into where it's supposed to on that grid, and then the rest will go away. And then you're going to, each round, you're going to score points depending on what you've already locked in on that said grid, whether you're trying to do either a horizontal or a vertical line, which are next to each other. So there's a lot of different ways to score in there, and having one of each type and such like that. So you do this over a series of rounds, you add up your points, and then that's it. I'm not doing it justice because it's not an easy one to explain and see, but if you go to Board Game Geek and search Azul, it is a great game. It's a very light, very family, light family weight. I think, Scott, you would really dig this one, and Brian, this would be a perfect one to have a little bit of beverages with the neighbors. I highly recommend this one. It's called Azul. What's also interesting, the other piece of news I wanted to talk to you guys about was the Spiel des Jahres chair guy. His name is Tom Felbar. He's the Spiel des Jahres chair. He basically came out the next day after these things, after the announcement came, and he basically say, listen, have good rule books and don't make sure they don't suck. Because if they suck, we're not going to be the playtesters for your rule book in order to pick out these award winners. So, which is really good because, as Scott always says, rule books are really intimidating. And if you have a crappy rule book, you're not going to want to play your game. You're going to be back to doing whatever the heck else you wanted to do. And there is a lot of bad rule books out there. Usually family weight games, to be honest, the rule books aren't too bad. Usually only a couple of pages. But I know those medium to heavier weight Euros, like the Kenner Spiel des Jahres that they have, those type of games tend to have some bears of rule books. And if they're piss poor, then you're not going to want to play them. So, and that's what basically the jury chair was saying is make sure for now on have good rule books or we're just not even going to bother. We're not going to be the beta testers, quote unquote, of your game before we put it out to the, you know, before we decide whether it should be in the Spiel des Jahres. Real quick, I'll mention the Kenner Spiel des Jahres, and these are mostly only available in German since, you know, a lot of times German Game of the Year, they'll pick out games that are already available over here. They just happen to be released over there. But there's only one that has kind of an Americanish name or an English name, Heaven and Hell by Michael Kiesling. Yes, that same Michael Kiesling from Azul. But they've got Ganz Schön Clever by Wolfgang Warsch, who also did The Mind, who was awarded, who's up for the award for the Spiel des Jahres. But that particular one is kind of like Quicks, a little bit Quicks on steroids. Quicks, as you remember, is kind of a roll and write, kind of like a Yahtzee killer. Oh, Quicks, I highly recommend. You'll find out at Target. And this one, Ganz Schön Clever, I'm not even sure what that translates into. Somebody in the chat room can probably tell us. That looks like a really good one. I'm going to want to pick this one up because it's dice rolling and filling out things on a little piece of paper, kind of like I could say, like Quicks. Then there's Die Quacksalber von Quedlinburg. I have no idea what that means either, but it's a more of a Euro-y, Euro, you know, more of the type of that Kenner Spiel des Jahres, and Heaven and Hell, which is another really good Euro, a little heavier, obviously, than the Spiel des Jahres. But my picks, real quick, would be Azul, and we'll go with Heaven and Hell as my pick for that one, too. We'll give the Kiesling double header there, the double win for Kiesling. So I hope everybody enjoyed that little bit of chat. Check out Slay the Spire, One Deck Dungeon, and Azul. I'll be back hopefully in a few weeks. I'll send you guys some more. I was happened to be off on Friday. I was hoping to see you guys live, but I hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope everything's all right out there around the world. Follow me on Twitter at GeekJockBlog or check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. We just put out a couple episodes ago, we put out the Avengers Infinity War spoiler cast. So if you've seen it and you want to listen to Four Idiots talk about Infinity War, you can listen to that, or Three Idiots talk about it. And also the last episode, we just put out a whole chunk of what we've been playing, talking about some Origins kerfluffle, what we've been playing, and we talk about Charterstone as well. So check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. Again, thanks, everybody. Hope everybody has a great week, and I'll talk to everybody next time.
All right, we're back. Thanks, Dan. That was awesome. Appreciate it, as always. Now, join us for this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Yes, it's time for your Twitter questions right here on the TMS show, where you guys ask TMS questions and you use the hashtag AskTMS. That's AskTMS. And we have one right here. Elizabeth Collins says, should I have amazing AI pastor tacos or awesome ramen out for dinner? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard of...
Must be Al Pastor, right? Not AI.
Al Pastor, yes. But I don't know what that is. Al Pastor tacos.
I wanted to be an AI pastor. Because beep, boop, beep. Come on in. Have a taco.
Come in, my child. Shepherd-style tacos.
Please tell me your shawarma, sins. Beep, boop.
Shawarma spit-grilled meat brought by mainly Christian Lebanese immigrants to Mexico.
Oh, all right. Well, the pastor part is
Al Pastor.
Somewhat connected there.
I would still do ramen. I love Mexican food. I could also do ramen like three times a week.
I love a good shoyu
broth with veggies in there and some pork belly on top. Oh man.
How are you with the pho? You like the pho?
I love pho. Yeah.
Yeah, I could go with some pho right now.
Yep, especially boy, you throw those spicy those pepper jalapeno slices in there and cilantro and
Maybe not
so many of the sprouts these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Josh Schneider says, what Super NES/NES Genesis arcade game do you recommend to introduce my kids to with their new Raspberry Pi retro console? Joust!
Well, but no. I mean, look at his choices. He's talking about SNES, NES, SNES, and Sega Genesis.
And arcade. Look at that. Did you see arcade?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't hear arcade. Oh, okay. Yeah. Joust is a great one. For sure then.
Yeah. Get Joust. The rest of it can follow, but get Joust. Yep. Joust is the greatest, arcade game ever to exist.
Well, second, but that's, yeah, you're close enough.
Look, Joust versus Tempest, we should have some kind of fight. I don't know how to do it, though.
They had a Joust game. They did not have a Tempest game at the place yesterday, but the Joust game was almost always had somebody in front of it. That one was constantly being played.
Should have asked the owners, where's the Tempest game? We heard some bald guy in Arvada has the last one. So that sounds about right.
Oh, that sounds about right.
WT Nelson said, would you rather go into the future and meet your descendants or go into the past and meet your ancestors? I'd do ancestors.
Would you really? I would do descendants. Because then I have, if in movie time travel theory, I could travel back to my time, change things that I do that might make them better people. Like if I see that that descendant Fred is troubled and in jail, I can say, by the way, when Fred's a baby, maybe take care of him a little bit more. Maybe give him a little more attention. He's gonna need it.
That's a good point. Yeah, if I go into the future and find my descendants in like crack houses, maybe that's why I want to go in the past, because the past can't do nothing to change.
Sure.
So I just go back there and say, hey, great, great, great grandpa Philip, what's up with you? And he'd go, it's a witch. And they'd chase me out of there. Here is another
one. You wouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, again, if it's movie time travel rules and you can come back to an affected timeline.
Yeah.
But that's just not how time travel works. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way.
There you go. Jason Robbins says, good old pal Jason Robbins, good friend of the program. Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider doing a TMS meetup in Biloxi, Mississippi? We have casinos, we have gigantic arcades at Margaritaville, good food everywhere, and the perfect nerd bar to have it called the Crappin' Pub in Biloxi. So I spent a ton of time in Biloxi. My wife is from that part of the country. She's, like, I don't know, 30 minutes from Biloxi, where she grew up. When we go down there next, we'll totally do a meetup. I mean, I don't know if it'll be like a big giant meetup where everybody comes there or not, but I would love to do that, sure, while we're down there.
I love the fact that his enticement for me, they have casinos and margaritas.
Brian. Hey, Brian, they got casinos and booze and good food.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I could totally go for the food. Yeah, I'd consider popping down there to join you for a TMS meetup.
Yeah, we'd have to look at it. But yeah, since most of Kim's family moved out west, we haven't had to go there very often, but we still do now and again.
Listen, I would, after we get a couple Vegas TMSs under our belt, it would be awesome to try and do like an East Coast, a New York TMS thing or a UK TMS thing or something like that.
Yeah, I still have I still have thoughts of a cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's... Which is funny because it seems like you and cruises
would be
so diametrically opposed.
I don't like cruises, but I like the idea of a TMS cruise for some reason. You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Look, if we're all going to get Giardia, we'll get it together.
At least we'll get Tadpole Giardia, right? It's like,
yeah.
If we're going to get Legionnaire's disease, at least it's going to be Tadpole Legionnaire's disease and not some crappy hobo Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah, we'll all have the same diarrhea. It'll be fantastic.
Rush Enders says, New Jersey also has casinos, Coverville. I know, I've been to them. Yeah. I went there with my, let's see, it was a guy I was installing in Neptune at the Asbury Park Press. You'd think the Asbury Park Press would be in Asbury Park, but it's in Neptune, New Jersey.
Oh.
And
I love the name their city, Neptune.
Neptune,
that's
right.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. That's when you really think highly of your town. You name it after a planet.
That's right.
Here's a good question I've wondered for a long time. Trey Jenkins says, does Brian use any wax to keep his head so beautiful and shiny?
No.
Okay.
Wax. Jeez.
No wax, huh?
No. And I don't even shave it as often as I should. I mean, this is like, let's see, I shaved it right before the podcasting panel. So this is how much hair I've got since Tuesday. If I was better, I would shave at least every other day.
Oh, wow.
A friend of mine named Jeffrey keeps his shaved. I think he shaves his daily. And it's just like, zip, 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 zip. If you do it like that, it takes 2 minutes and you're done.
Yeah.
And I'm lazy and I wait 4 days and then it's like, got to use the clippers to kind of get the big stuff and then use the shaver in the shower, the actual razor in the shower.
The hand thing that you got?
The hand thing. Yes.
Brian does the hand thing in the shower.
In the shower.
Here's one from, let's see, Tom Robinson, who says, what MCU planet or place would you most likely to visit, assuming nothing was destroyed? You know what I really liked in this last movie? And this is no spoiler, but I can't remember the name of it. I should remember because everybody kept saying the name of it. Mm-hmm. But it was the place where he took Gamora to go find that thing.
Really?
I love how that place looked. I mean, it doesn't look very inhabitable, but like all that water and sand, and it's just my kind of thing. I love that. Big open vistas, just beautiful, weird sky.
Huh.
Like whatever that is, I would totally go there.
Wow. It just didn't seem like it would be terribly hospitable. I mean, I don't want to say again. I want to confirm. You're talking about...
Yes.
Where we see...
You know the... Yes.
Yeah.
Floaty McFloaty Pants.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Before
he gets to that part, before they climb to an altitude problem, when they're down just on the base of that planet, mm-hmm. that's freaking gorgeous. I mean, there's nobody living there, obviously, and there's those pools of water and that trippy sand dune look to it where there's water and sand dunes mixed. It's so cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna say Xandar because I like Xandar. I feel like Xandar is like future. It's Tomorrowland mm-hmm. as a planet.
That's true. It's such a dumb name though. Xandar. Yeah. May as well be
whatever.
An alien in the original
whatever,
Star
we're protected,
Trek series.
We're protected there by the Nova Corps. We got Glenn Close hanging out.
Sure.
You know.
She's doing her thing. Why not? Yeah. I also really like the thing in Thor Ragnarok. What's that planet? The trash planet.
Oh, yeah,
not
Jeff Goldblum's planet?
Yeah, I don't want to live there.
Yeah.
But
I'm like the worst planet.
But I'm in love with the look of that place. I just think it's amazing. The colors they use in that place is so cool.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool 70s colors and stuff.
Let's do a final one.
Okay.
Oh, this is interesting. Loey D says, what's your earliest memory you have?
Oh.
I have one.
Yeah, I have one, and it comes and goes. So there's one that I have of, like, our dog Sammy. I remember seeing photos of our dog Sammy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a baby when they had Sammy, but I remember Sammy at my feet and I was like in a chair or in a stroller or something like that. And I remember seeing Sammy looking up at me. Mm-hmm. The other earliest memory I have is me being a little shit. Mm-hmm. And my mom stepped out to you know, it's just her and I living in an apartment after the divorce.
Sure.
And she had to run out for something, and I was left alone for a couple minutes, and I got her book of matches, and I lit a match on fire, and it freaked me out so much that when she got back home, I, like, hugged the crap out of her, and she has no idea, or had no idea why.
I love that. That's cute. I
was so fascinated by matches, like, by a match back then. And just doing that was probably enough to keep me from being a little arsonist, was like freaking out because, oh my God, oh, I threw it in the sink, and good thing I didn't throw it in the trash, but I blew it out and threw it in the sink.
Sure. No, that's, I like that one. That one's cute.
Yeah.
For me, it was, I was probably two. I don't remember the exact age. My mom could tell me, but I remember very distinctly being super hurt in the car, and flying forward and hitting my head on the dashboard and bleeding all over the place, and my mom freaking out and my dad trying to calm her down. And I still have a scar. You can't see it on camera, but I have a scar up here that's from that when I was two. And I remember this experience like as if it was yesterday. I still can feel exactly what I felt. My mom freaking out, like all that stuff vivid in my head. And I was probably 2 years old is all.
Yeah. They say that, traumatic, like pain or fear experiences are, leave an impression that, you know, lasts into your adulthood and you remember those experiences.
Yeah. Even when you're little, like little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what I was. But, anyway, it's a weird thing. I still remember it. And every time I look at that scar, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a bad day.
Wow.
But I don't remember anything else till I was like, maybe it's because I hit my head. But I don't remember much about like 8 or 9, like that era. Don't remember hardly anything. I remember Star Wars when I was 8. That's about it. So yeah, 3 years old. That's it. Or 2 years old. Thank you for your questions, everybody. They're great as always. If you'd like to send your own during the week, you can. AskTMS is the hashtag. We are here doing this extra episode a week because of you at patreon.com/TMS. Continue your support there and add it. If you have not, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, live listeners, you get to help title the show today. Go to frogpants.showbot.tv. Submit your titles. Actually, you can just do that through the chat room, but that's the place you'll vote. So go vote for the ones you like the most.
No surprise seeing which one's on top right now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised yet. Let me guess. It has the word queef in it. Yes. In the meantime, there is plenty to be seen and done over at frogpants.com/TMS. Now, I don't know if I said this before. If I haven't, the new site lets me make a blog post for every episode I do of any show. So there's a whole category for the morning stream, which you can find very easily at frogpants.com/TMS. And you can leave comments if you want to about the episodes there. I don't know how many people want to. You haven't up to this point, so maybe you won't care, but it's there. It's there for you. We're doing it anyway. So if you want to be a part of that conversation, you certainly can. If you're a jerk, I'll just ban your account. All right.
What?
Also, Morning Stream Scott Johnson in Coverville on Twitter. There. Brian, do you want to take us out with something? A little something?
I won't take us out. I'm just laughing at some of these. The AI pastor is in here.
Nice.
Our brand of fecal oral and skin bacteria. Oh, I love it. I love you guys. All right. Here is a request going out to Sean Nagel. It says, this is for my daughter, Ariana. She turns 11 today. This is actually yesterday. She occasionally listens to the show with me and would love to hear her name. Well, hi, Ariana. Happy birthday. Sean adds, Ari, I love you very much. Remember, do or do not, there is no try.
All right.
Is Sean Nagel, was he Sean Basic, or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, Sean Basic was the preacher guy. Sean, forgot his last name, but that's not him.
Different. Okay.
Different guy.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Now, he requested Simple Man by Shinedown or the version by the Deftones. I've played both of those within the last year on TMS requests. So I'm still going to play a cover of Simple Man, and I'm hoping you dig this one because I think it's totally cool. And it's a little bit more acoustic than the Shinedown or Deftones version. This is by Jason Manns with Jensen Ackles. It came out in 2016 from the album Covers with Friends. Came out, I'm sorry, it was cover of the Lynyrd Skynyrd song, of course. Here is Simple Man by Jason Manz.
All right, we'll see you guys on Monday. That's tomorrow. Weird. Ah. See you then.
Mama told me when I was young, she'd sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say. If you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, take your time, don't live too fast. Troubles will come and they will pass. You'll find a woman, and you'll find love. Don't forget, son, there is someone up above. And be a simple kind of man will be something you love and understand. Oh, baby, be a simple kind of man. Won't you do this for me, son, if you can? Forget your lust for the rich man's gold. All that you need is in your soul. You can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple kind of man. Be something you love and understand. Yeah, baby, be a simple kind of man. Won't you do this for me, son, if you can? Find yourself, follow your heart and nothing else. Yeah, you can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple kind of man. Be something you love and understand. Yeah, baby, be a simple kind of man. Won't you do this for me, son, if you can?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.